Well, welcome to anyone that is a first-time guest. And we have started a series, believe it or not, it's a year ago that we started the series, October the 11th, 2023. We're still in the series on healing, your gift from God. Tonight, we're going to look at part 18, and we have been looking at roadblocks to healing. So if you have not been around and you would like to get the basic information and go back to number one, okay, you can go to our website and at the homepage, look for recent messages that's in the center of the page, click on the title Healing, Your Gift from God, and you'll be able to find the first message if you scroll down and go all the way back to October 11th, 2023. So this will allow you to start from the very first message and get the information from the very beginning. So, before we go into a quick review, let's do our declaration. And I encourage everyone that as we go through this, that you speak this declaration on a daily basis. And it goes like this. I operate from a position of victory because I have already won. I always approach the enemy from a position of power because the power of God is in me. We have three scriptures from the Passion Translation. 1 Peter 2:24, he himself carried our sins in his body on the cross so that we would be dead to sin and live for righteousness. Our instant healing flowed from his wounding. Romans 16:20, and the God of peace will swiftly pound Satan to a pulp under your feet, and the wonderful favor of our Lord Jesus Christ will surround you. And the third one, Romans 8:10-11. Now Christ lives his life in you. Not tomorrow, but right now. He lives his life in you. And even though your body may be dead because of the effects of sin, it's not talking about spiritual, but it's talking about physical death, his life-giving spirit imparts life to you because you are fully accepted by God. Yes, God raised Jesus to life. And since God's spirit of resurrection lives in you, he will also raise your dying body to life by the same spirit that breathes life into you. And the fellowship of being one with him is our healing. So in our last message, which was number two on roadblocks, all right, we covered roadblocks 4 to 8. I'm going to do a quick review and then we're going to do 9, 10, and 11 tonight. Number four, which was a roadblock why people are not healed, is because of unbelief. And in message 12, from the very beginning, as you're going through, when you get to number 12, we looked at unbelief. We had been looking at talking about believing, then unbelief, and then speaking. But in message number 12, we looked at the two different kinds of unbelief. We looked at mental assent versus mental agreement. And we discussed in last message, unbelief on an individual basis versus community or corporate unbelief. Now, we saw how Jesus marveled at their unbelief in his own hometown. And I also talked about the unbelief of Israel, which was used for our benefit. Their unbelief opened the door of opportunity for the Gentiles to be grafted in. We saw that in Romans 11:17-23. Unbelief is overcome when people are taught the truth correctly about healing. Reason number five as to why people are not healed is people believe that one can glorify God more by remaining sick and exhibiting patience than we can by being divinely healed. This is simply another lie straight from the pit of hell. We looked at several scriptures that showed God getting glory every time people were healed, not when they were ill. Now, if God is to get glory in sickness, then pastors don't have to go and pray for anyone because pastors are to practice James 5:14-15, and that would contradict this particular roadblock that some people believe. Now, anyone in the medical profession, myself included, would be out of the will of God if this was true because we go about trying to get people better and get them healed. So this roadblock is saying that God gets glory when people are sick and suffering instead of being healed. We saw that the scriptures proved the exact opposite. Number six stated that people are not healed because the age of miracles has passed. the Holy Spirit, in whose age we are now living, is God's miracle worker, the only administrator of the Father's will. He is the one who healed all the sick multitudes when Jesus Christ was here on the earth. All the miracles ever done until the day of Pentecost were accomplished by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the miracle worker. So this was before he had entered officially into his own dispensation. Now think for a minute. If the age of the Holy Spirit was past, nobody today could get saved. There would be no power. Salvation is one of the greatest miracles one can experience, and it happens by the power of the Holy Spirit. So if the power of the Holy Spirit is past, then this Bible has been turned into an historical storybook. That's all it would be. So if I'm to do the same works as Jesus did, I need the Holy Spirit. His power needs to be made available to me. So we have a better covenant, better promises, and better everything than any previous age. And we also have proof every day of people operating the power of the Holy Spirit, proving that the miracle worker age is fully alive and well. Reason number 7 was they do not prepare their hearts to receive healing. So this boils down to a person not taking time with God's word. And it's important for us to be in a spiritual attitude to receive. So we need to stay continually, daily in his word. And when a person is prepared, their faith begins to draw the anointing of the power of God out of a minister. And if they are not prepared, some people have heard it said, okay, you feel the anointing go out into the individual and then it come right back out. They did not receive it. Jesus followed some very basics in life. Teaching with instructions first and then the results. So when Jesus couldn't do any mighty works in his own town in Nazareth, he went about the villages in a circuit and taught. He did the teaching to help these individuals. Teaching is the core to getting rid of the roadblocks that people have allowed to cause them to have their healing stolen from them. Our job is to get the instructions and obey. Simple. Get the instructions and obey. Instructions say, if you can believe, you can receive. It's that simple. All things are possible to him that believeth. And as we listen to the word taught, it gets our faith to a point where we are ready to receive. Now, there are some people who need to stay under the teachings, sit under the word as long as possible to get that instruction and then go forward to have someone lay hands on them to receive. Now, if you ever attended a faith crusade here at Redeeming Love, or maybe even if you were here when we had Apostle Mike Keyes recently, he said to the people, if you can come back, he said, come back. But if you can't come back, then I'll pray for you. We'll have someone pray for you. All right. So the longer you have opportunity to sit under the word, the more apt you are to receive your healing. You often heard Brother Hagin tell that if he did a 5-week crusade, if you can't come back, come down for healing. But if you can come back, wait till the last night and build up your faith. The last reason, number 8, was that people don't believe it is God's will to heal them. And we can't find any scriptures in the Bible where Jesus ever told anyone he didn't want to heal them. He never told them they needed to wait for a month and learn a lesson, nor did he ever say that they were not worthy of healing. None of us are worthy of healing. None of us. All right? We don't deserve it, but God heals us anyway. So once again, there are speculations, there's assumptions, and traditions of men taught to the body of Christ as reasons why individuals don't receive their healing, and none of them, let me say that again, none of them have any scriptural basis. So in the last message, we looked at Matthew 8:1-4 and 1 Peter 2:24. So if we were healed, according to 1 Peter 2:24, then it is proving to us that it is the will of God to heal today. However, It is up to us individually to prepare and believe his word. So once again, the word proves that it is the will of God to heal, and that has never changed. Be prepared to receive once you have fully believed. So as we continue to look at roadblocks to healing tonight, our goal here is to help people look at the truth in the word of God so that they can make any course corrections in their believing and or thinking, subsequently obtaining their healing. We want to clear out all the debris between you and your healing so there are no obstacles between you and Jesus. No obstacles between you and Jesus. We go straight to him. So tonight we're going to begin with roadblock number 9, and that is people copy what God told someone else to do. Example, Hezekiah used a poultice. All right, so let's look at Isaiah, the first scripture tonight, Isaiah 38, and we're going to go to verses 1-5. I'm going to read it from the Voice. All right, Isaiah 38, verses 1-5 in the Voice. Meanwhile, back in Judah, Hezekiah became very sick and was about to die. Learning of it, Isaiah, Amos's son, went to visit him. And Isaiah says here, here is what the Eternal One has to say. God says, get your affairs in order. You are going to die. You are not going to recover from this. And Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and started praying. We can learn something there. Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and started praying. We have not because we ask not. If you are given an evil report, go to the Lord. I don't care how bad it is, go to the Lord. Hezekiah, Eternal One, so this is Hezekiah speaking, Eternal One, I beg you to remember how I have followed the path you set before me and how I did so with all my heart. Remember how I have done what you wanted with sincerity of purpose every step of the way. Then Hezekiah broke down and wept. He wept and wept. Then a different word from the Eternal One came upon the prophet Isaiah. Eternal One says, go and tell Hezekiah that the Eternal, the God of your ancestor David, says, I have heard your prayer and I have seen your tears. I've decided to add another 15 years to your life. Praise the Lord. Now let's go down to verses 20 and 21. Same chapter, verse 20, 21. The Eternal will rescue me and we will break out the stringed instruments. They're celebrating. He's praising and worshiping God for giving him 15 more years. We will sing and make music for the rest of our lives right here in the house of the Eternal. Verse 21, Isaiah instructed the physicians to apply a compress of squashed figs to the boil on Hezekiah's skin to help him with recovery. Now, some have wondered why God told Hezekiah to put a lump or poultice of figs on the boil. Now, according to Hebrew translation, Hezekiah had a carbuncle on his neck, which can be very serious. Now, the poultice of figs was not necessary as a medical aid. It had no curative powers whatsoever, but it served no medical purpose. However, sometimes it takes an act of obedience to release your faith. Sometimes it takes an act of obedience to release your faith. Now, let's go to 2 Kings chapter 5, and we're going to read verses 1 to 19 in the New King James. This is about Naaman, who was healed from leprosy. Okay, he was a mighty man of valor. 2 Kings 5, starting at verse 1. Now, this is loaded with several key points. Now, Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great and honorable man in the eyes of his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was also a mighty man of valor, but a leper. He was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out on raids and brought back captive a young girl from the land of Israel. She waited on Naaman's wife. Then she said to her mistress, if only my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria, for he would heal him of his leprosy. And Naaman went in and told his master, saying, "Thus and thus said the girl who is from the land of Israel." Then the king of Syria said, "Go now, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel." So he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 changes of clothing. Then he brought the letter to the king of Israel, which said, "Now be advised, when this letter comes to you, that I have sent Naaman, my servant, to you, that you may heal him of leprosy." Okay, some mix up here because the king obviously is not the one that does the healing, neither did the prophet. And it happened, we're at verse 7 now, and it happened when the king of Israel read the letter that he tore his clothes and said, "Am I God to kill and make alive, that this man sends a man to me to heal him of his leprosy? Therefore, please consider and see how he seeks a quarrel with me." He got offended. Verse 8, "So it was when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, then he sent to the king saying, 'Why have you torn your clothes? Please let him come to me and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel.' Then Naaman went with his horses and chariot, and he stood at the door of Elisha's house. And Elisha sent a messenger to him saying, 'Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times. Gives him instruction, go wash 7 times. Now listen to the final part. And your flesh shall be restored to you and you shall be clean.'" It's almost as if Naaman didn't hear the second part. "But Naaman became furious and went away and said, 'Indeed, I said to myself, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord, his God, and wave his hand over the place and heal the leprosy.'" Naaman had a preconceived idea of how he was going to be healed. "Are not the Abana and the Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus between then all the waters of Israel, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned and went away in a rage. Now stop and think for a minute. Naaman had his preconceived idea of how he was to be healed. We cannot and we should not ever limit God by telling him how to heal a person or even ourselves. Even in our own situations, we limit God by expecting our healing to come a certain way or in a certain time frame. This can block your healing. All right, we're up to verse 13. "And his servants came near and spoke to him and said, 'My father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you not have done it? How much more then when he says to you, wash and be clean?' So he went down and dipped 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean." He returned to the man of God, he and all his aides, and came and stood before him and said, "Indeed, now I know that there is no God in all the earth except in Israel. Now, therefore, please take a gift from your servant." But think about that. He gets healed. God gets the glory. And not only that, as we read, we find out that he switched God, okay? "I know that there's no God in all the earth except in Israel." Verse 16, "But he said, 'As the Lord lives before whom I stand, I will receive nothing.'" This is Isaiah saying, answering back. "And he urged him to take it, but he refused." Isaiah wanted Naaman to know that he couldn't buy his healing. It was free. Verse 17. "So Naaman said, 'Then if not, please let your servant be given 2 mule loads of earth, for your servant will no longer offer either burnt offering or sacrifice to other gods, but to the Lord.'" Naaman was switching gods. Amen. Yet in this thing, may the Lord pardon your servant when my master goes into the temple of Ramon to worship there, and he leans on my hand, and I bow down in the temple of Ramon. When I bow down in the temple of Ramon, may the Lord please pardon your servant in this thing. Because obviously he was doing his job, and his boss, you could say, okay, or his Lord there, believed in this other God. But now Naaman has switched. Verse 19, then he said to him, go in peace. So he departed from him a short distance. Now, I am sure you've heard this phrase. It's been around in the faith movement for many times. Healing is the children's bread. So healing caused Naaman to believe in the Lord God and offer sacrifices only to him. Praise God. So also, dipping in the muddy Jordan water seven times had no curative value. It didn't heal Naaman any more than the poultice healed Hezekiah. Here's the key. When God tells you to do something, be obedient and experience your healing. Don't go and do something someone else did because you heard, oh, so-and-so did this and that because God told them to do it and they got healed. Okay? Mistake. Don't go and do something someone else did expecting your healing. Don't go and put a poultice on a wound or a boil unless God tells you. Do only what God tells you, emphasis on you, to do. The Lord will honor your simple act of faith and obedience. Now, if God tells you to do something and you act upon it, you will be healed. Let's go to roadblock number 10. Why people are not healed. They don't deal with sin in their lives. All right? Hidden sin in your life can grow into a root of bitterness, which can eventually manifest into symptoms of sickness and disease. Let me say that again. If people don't deal with sin in their lives, this hidden sin can grow into a root of bitterness, which can eventually manifest into symptoms of sickness and disease. Let's go to James 5, and we're going to look at verses 14 to 16 in the New King James and the Voice and the Wiest translation. James 5, verses 14 to 15, the New King James. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil, in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Now listen to it in the Voice. Are any sick? They should call the elders of your church and ask them to pray. They will gather around and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. Prayers offered in faith will restore them from sickness and bring them to health. The Lord will lift them up from the floor of despair. And if the sickness is due to sin, then God will forgive their sins. Verse 16, so own up to your sins, to one another and pray for one another. And in the end, that you may be healed. Your prayers are powerful when they are rooted in righteous life. We need to recognize that sickness can be due to sin, and we need to own up to the sins. So, if the sickness is due to sin, this is letting us know that sin might be the root cause of the sickness. Listen to it in the Kenneth Wiest translation. Is anyone among you ill? Let him call at once. For the elders of the local assembly, and let them pray over him, having massaged him with olive oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith shall make the sick person well, and the Lord shall raise him up. If He is in a state of having committed sin, that is, under the moral or physical consequences of having sinned, it shall be forgiven him. Be confessing, therefore, your sins to one another for your own benefit. Folks, if you hide on to or hold on to sins and keep them hidden, it's not for your benefit. Be confessing, therefore, your sins to one another for your own benefit, and be praying for one another that you may be healed. A prayer of the righteous person is able to do much as it operates. Okay? So we know this from James, all right, that we need to get rid of the sins and be prayed for. Now, let's go to Hebrews 12, verses 14 and 15, and I'm going to read in the New King James and then in the Passion. New King James first, start verse 14. Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up, cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. It's saying any root of bitterness springing up will cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. So the root of bitterness can be something like envy, jealousy, anger, any kind of malevolent affection, which is basically wishing to do evil to others. Or it may refer also to false doctrines leading to the rejection of truth. And it is a deliberate turning away from God, going in the opposite direction, as exemplified by the disobedience of Israel in the wilderness. Now, listen to it in the Passion. I like the way the Passion says it. In every relationship, be swift to choose peace over competition, and run swiftly toward holiness, for those who are not holy will not see the Lord. Watch over each other to make sure that no one misses the revelation of God's grace. Make sure no one lives with a root of bitterness, which is also known as resentment there. That word means resentment. Make sure no one lives with a root of bitterness or resentment sprouting within them, which will only cause trouble and poison the hearts of many. So, okay. Under healthy circumstances, all right, the purpose of a root or a root system is to provide life to the tree or the plant. It brings the water to the leaves, all right? It provides life to that plant or that tree. And many times we can't see the root and we don't know how deep the root system goes. Now remember, when Jesus cursed that fig tree, remember, he cursed it, but it died from the roots, which took time for the evidence to be seen. So sometimes the roots of bitterness, which could be anger, envy, jealousy, hatred, whatever, okay, they're hidden in a person's heart. They won't talk about it, and they even deny that it's happening when other people can see something's obviously wrong. But if it is not dealt with, symptoms of sickness and disease will begin to manifest. Now, you've heard me talk about, you know, in the process of discussing healing, you've heard me say that many people have had a traumatic event happen in their life, and usually 18 to 24 months prior to the onset of their symptoms, something traumatic happened. It is not uncommon for someone to have been the victim of something, and because they didn't deal with it, they can't understand why they are ill. There have been reports of people with terminal illnesses being healed once the root cause is dealt with. Like we saw with in James, once the sin was dealt with, okay, they're healed. Now, for many years, I was a member of an order called the Order of St. Luke, and it had been established by the Episcopal Church. Their goal was to study healing. They established this organization around the country and internationally. I loved going to the meetings. I learned a lot. Okay. And there was a Canon Jim Glennon, a high ranking official, kind of, I think, in similar to like a bishop, from Australia. And Canon Jim wrote a book and he shared about how they in Australia developed these groups that went and prayed for individuals. They had a woman in their congregation that had an incurable disease and she was only in her 40s. Now, they went and at, say maybe there was four or five people, they would go, they would pray. And these were more mature Christians whom some operated under the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And they determined that there was something that was at the root of her illness. The doctors had no answer, no cure for this situation. She was in ICU and they didn't give her much time. So they started to pray and they were operating in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And they said to her, you know, what happened to you 18 to 24 months ago? And she said, I got divorced. But she had never dealt with it. What happened was when her husband asked for the divorce, she never saw it coming. It was a total shock. She was just totally devastated. And she got through it, but the husband divorced her, went on his merry way, and she was left to deal with all the emotional pain that went with that. When this group met with her and began to pray and began to deal with all of this, got her to forgive him, got her to experience the emotional healing, because God comes to heal the brokenhearted, and this woman had a broken heart. Not only did she experience the emotional healing, she was physically healed. And the doctors were amazed, what happened? How did this happen? But she was healed, okay? Some have an unforgiving spirit and everything looks great on the outside, but on the inside, they're waiting to get even with the person who did something wrong to them. That can't be anybody listening. But anyway, we have to help others to deal with these kinds of circumstances, deal with their hurts, and experience God's peace. Remember, he came to heal the brokenhearted. He wants us completely whole, spirit, soul, and body. He doesn't want just our physical bodies healed, okay? Bitterness is one of the greatest enemies of the human spirit. So if allowed to continue, it will poison and ruin the spirit, and bitterness in your heart will not only hinder you from receiving from God, but if left unchecked, it can and will hinder, it'll affect an entire family. Trust me, been there, seen it. So remember, if you are full of bitterness, you cannot walk in love. And we know that faith works by love. So whether one has sin in their life or a root of bitterness, the answer is to go to God and receive your forgiveness. Start with a clean slate and enjoy the freedom that Jesus purchased for you at Calvary. So the topic of unforgiveness is definitely a roadblock to healing. I'm not going to go more into that at this point, but I believe it's down the road for a further discussion. Roadblock number 11, okay? The last one for tonight. People rely on a certain spiritual individual to heal them. People rely on certain spiritual individual or individuals to heal them, and it's called hero worship. So when anyone believes that they have to have certain people lay hands on them, then they are relying on human flesh instead of God. Doing this can become a roadblock to one's healing. Over the years, people have often decided that certain individuals like Brother Hagin, Brother Copeland, Pastor Sarah, Pastor Clinton, or others had to be the ones that would lay hands on them. We are to rely on the Spirit of God for deliverance, not the human beings. We don't depend or rely on human beings. We rely and go to God. The power of God flows through others for healing, but just because someone is anointed doesn't mean that he can get the answer for you any quicker than somebody else can. The enemy will put those thoughts in your mind and convince people that only so-and-so can minister to you. So now I've been guilty of that. I remember years ago when I was diagnosed with this very large fibroid, and I would pray and I confess and so forth, and that sucker continued to grow instead of disappear. And I thought, Brother Hagin, he was the only one. Let me just get my hands laid on by Brother Hagin. Wrong. In fact, it kept growing. It didn't disappear. So we have to learn to keep our eyes on Jesus Christ. He's the healer. Everyone else is simply a conduit that God uses to bring the healing to others. When I pray and lay hands on people, I am expecting for them to be healed. Amen? So we are the conduit, but I am not the healer. Neither was Brother Hagin, Brother Copeland, Pastor Sarah, Pastor Clinton. Let's go to Mark 5, 25 to 29. Mark 5, 25 to 29 in the Voice translation. This is a familiar scripture with the woman with the issue of blood. And it says, there was a woman who had suffered continuous bleeding for 12 years, bleeding that made her ritually unclean and an outcast according to the purity laws. She had suffered greatly, and although she spent all her money on her medical care, she had only gotten worse. She had heard of this miracle man, Jesus, so she snuck up behind him in the crowd, reached out her hand to touch his cloak. And she said to herself, even if I touch all I touch are his clothes, I know I will be healed. Even if all I touch are his clothes, I know I will be healed. As soon as her fingers brushed his cloak, the bleeding stopped. She could feel that she was whole again. She knew instantly. Her focus was on Jesus as the healer, as should ours be as well. Her focus was on Jesus, not on anything or anyone else. Obviously, it wasn't because she went through that crowd where she was by law not supposed to be. Let's go to Mark 10, Mark 10, 46 to 52 in the New King James. Mark 10, 46 to 52 in the New King James. Now they came to Jericho as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude. Blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Then many warned him to be quiet. They're trying to shush him. But he cried out all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they called the man, saying to him, be of good cheer, rise, he's calling you. And throwing aside his garment, and as we know, when you throw aside your garment as the beggar like that, you are saying you are no longer a beggar. Throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. So Jesus answered and said to him, what do you want me to do for you? And the blind man said to him, Rabboni, that I may receive my sight. Then Jesus said to him, go your way, your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. So Bartimaeus had been shushed by the multitude, but he cried all the louder until Jesus called him to come. His focus was on Jesus. He didn't care about anybody else along the way. He was not going to be allowing anything to hinder him from getting to his Jesus, and neither should we. We should feel the same way. Get me to my Jesus. Now, here's the beautiful part about being in the new covenant. He's in you. He's in you. So the answer to roadblock number 11 of hero worship is simply to keep your focus on Jesus as your healer. Nobody else should be getting his glory. Nobody else should get his glory. So tonight we've covered three roadblocks, and I'm going to unhook until the next time. There are many. I don't know how long it's going to take us to get to this section, but that's okay. And so in conclusion, I'm just going to pray and go before the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we travel this long life things can happen to us which can become roadblocks to our healing. Debris can build up and prevent us from receiving what you purchased for us through Jesus Christ at Calvary, our free gift of healing. Help each of us to look at these hindrances and seriously deal with any sin, any root of bitterness, hero worship, or copying what others did to be healed. We will come directly to you, no side journeys, but directly to you, Lord Jesus, and obey exactly what you tell us to do. We thank you, Father, that we are complete. You want us healed, total healing, spirit, soul, and body. And we thank you for this, giving you all the glory and honor in the precious name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Well, before we conclude any service, we always give people an opportunity to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. I'm going to pray that brief prayer now. If you pray it with me, you will have been born again. So simply repeat this after me and say, "Dear God, I believe that Jesus Christ is your Son. I believe that he was crucified, died, and buried, but rose on the third day. Jesus, come into my heart and take over my life. Be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you, Father, that I now have eternal life with you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen." That simple prayer took you from death to life, spiritual death to spiritual life, and you now have eternal life with Jesus Christ. On the screen, you're going to see some contact information because we want to reach out to you and we want to hear from you if you prayed that prayer. We want to get some free material to you so that you can start your journey with the Lord in the right direction. You can reach us by email, by mail, or by phone, and we thank you for doing that.